Tonight we turn together to Psalm 102 as we again await in this hours for a new year to be inaugurated. It is wonderful to read again about the blessings of the Lord, even in the times of affliction and times of difficulty that the people of God frequently experience. Psalm 102 helps us in that specific exercise, and it helps us this way contemplate the mercy of God that awaits those who wait on Him. Tonight we will consider the first half of Psalm 102, as it seems very fitting, as a means to review our lives this past year, and we'll reserve the second half of the psalm for tomorrow morning as we gather together for worship again in the new year that has been given us. So we turn our attention to Psalm 102 as we consider verses 1 through 11 of this blessed psalm. A prayer of the afflicted. When he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake. And am I like a sparrow alone on the housetop? My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Great Lord, as we gather together as your holy people on this very last day of the year, and as we seek your face and seek wisdom from you, Father, we pray that it would bless us tonight, that it would encourage our hearts, that it would continue, O Lord, to point us to Christ and to strengthen us to continue to live for your glory. Father, we pray that as we visit this first 11 verses tonight of Psalm 102, you will teach us, O Lord. Teach us how to live for your glory. Teach us, O Lord, what should characterize our lives, especially in times of hardship. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. End of the year comes, and the world gets it to the mood of retrospective. Depending on the newspaper that you have got, depending on the kind of programs you have on your TV, you certainly have already seen in this very last days articles, newspapers, or TV programs giving a summary of the year. What happened through the year? What marked 2020? And that's really a very helpful exercise to perform. As we revisit or what passed in this past year, we are given a chance to meditate upon not only on the hardships that we have experienced, but also on the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. It is important to keep this history vivid in our minds so that we would not repeat the same mistakes, so that we would rejoice regarding the mercies and graces received. But you see, just as important as it is to revisit the year, it is also important to revisit how did we respond to the things that happened through that year. Perhaps we would not disagree at all of us together here tonight, that 2020 has been a very hard year in many, many different ways. This was a year in which we experienced strife in a national level. It was a year in which we experienced sickness in a world level. It was a year in which churches suffered not being able to gather together. It was a year in which freedoms and liberties were in some sort of way robbed or denied. And how did you, Christian, experience all these hardships? As your mind goes back from January 1st to now, and as you revisit all these hardships and difficulties, losses and disappointments, just as important as to revisit them is to revisit how did you respond to these things? Did you respond in a godly way? What did you learn from this year that passed? Through your responses, what has been shown in your heart and in your soul? You see, in order to help us in this exercise, we turn our attention to Psalm 102. As we consider these 11 verses, we notice that the psalmist here is experiencing pretty much the same things that all of us, in different levels, have experienced through the months of this year that is passing by. But perhaps different from the response that we offered, we learned tonight that in all those circumstances, in all the different circumstances that we're going to consider in these verses, the psalmist is responding with a blessed disposition to go to the Lord in prayer. If there is one thing that 2020 ought to have taught us, is that as God's people, we should be a people on our knees. As a holy people of God, we should be ready to go on our knees constantly. As we consider these 11 verses tonight, this is what we learn regarding how Christians, how those who trust in the Lord respond to hardships. They respond acknowledging the hardships, but they respond also knowing that regardless of the hardships, we cry out continually to the Lord, confidently in His timely response. Christian, has this been your attitude through this year? Through the hardships and difficulties that you experienced through 2020, have you responded crying out continually to the Lord, confident in His timely response? This is precisely what we are reminded tonight as we revisit these verses. Regardless of the hardships, Christian, cry out continually to the Lord, confident that timely He will respond. As we look at the first five verses in the psalm, the first thing we learn is that despite our infirmities, we should cry out continually to the Lord. We notice this constant and a fervent plea in verses 1 and 2. We notice that the psalmist is addressing the ear of the Lord, and he desires that the face of the Lord contemplates him. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." And this is an urgent prayer. This is a prayer that cannot wait. Have you already felt like that? That we really needed an answer immediately from heaven? You were knocking the door of access to our great God in heaven, and you were expecting Him to answer speedily. That's precisely how the psalmist feels. At the end of verse 2, he says, "Answer me speedily. Do not hide your face from me." In other words, do not abandon me. Do not withdraw your mercy and your grace towards me. This man is really afflicted. As you look at the title of the psalm, remember the title, not the bold letters in your translation, but the title of the psalm, "A Prayer of the Afflicted," when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord, that title is inspired. And it's interesting to notice that the term "afflicted" there describes sometimes even an animal who is suffering with deep pain and agony. It describes animals in a state of deep weakness. It also describes people who are weak because of the terrible losses and pains of war. It sometimes even describes those who are drowning. That was precisely the word "afflicted" that was used to by Jonah to describe his own estate as he was drowning. Perhaps you sit here tonight and that's precisely how 2020 has made you feel. Weak, drawing, desperate, needing a speedy response coming down from heaven. The desire of the psalmist is to be heard. And the reason, or at least the very first reason he tells us in these verses, is because he has been suffering from some sort of infirmity. As we look in verse 3, he says that his bones are burning like a hearth. Commentators dispute a little bit what's the meaning of this specific sentence, this specific expression, but there is really a consensus in which this is some sort of fever. This man was experiencing a terrible fever, and that's the reason why he was actually he had lost his appetite. As you look again at the end of verse 5, he says, "Because of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin." At the end of verse 4, he says, "I forget to eat my bread." This man was experiencing such a difficult time and such a terrible sickness, a terrible disease, to the point of losing his appetite, not desiring to feed himself, and seeing his days going by like smoke. That's exactly what he says in verse 3, isn't it? "For my days are consumed like a hearth." They're going like smoke. Have you felt this way this past year? With this COVID outbreak, so many have indeed experienced this very same feelings. And perhaps you didn't experience any sort of disease, any sort of sickness, but you, in your house, you have those who experience such terrible things. And the question that comes to us as we contemplate this initial verses is this the way in which we responded? Can this be a way in which we are encouraged by the Lord that despite of our infirmities, regardless of the sickness that come to our home, we ought to cry out to the Lord constantly, confident in His timely response? Oh, that's a good reminder, because the way that we respond to illnesses and to disease, to infirmities, is not always in this way, is it? The way we respond to infirmity so many times is with anger. Why me? Why this in my family? Why this in my own house? Or why this in my own body? Have I not served the Lord faithfully? Have I not been serving the church with all that I have? Have I not been bringing to the Lord all that belongs to Himself? Why then this infirmity come upon me? Or why this infirmity is in my family? Or even, why this infirmity has come upon my country? Well, the Lord reminds us tonight that instead of anger, we ought to respond with prayer. Christian, instead of anger, we ought to respond with prayer. Praying to the Lord, understanding that in a timely manner, confident that in a moment He will respond. Perhaps according to our speed, according to our notion of velocity, but certainly according to His own will. We can approach the Lord even more confident than the psalmist did. You see, this fervor, this unwavering confidence that is clearly displayed in verses 1 and 2 is even more ours. For we know who experienced this specific pain to the utmost for our own sake. Don't you remember in Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53, verse 4, we are reminded that He, the servant of the Lord, has borne our griefs. Depending on the translation you read that text, perhaps you could be reading, He has borne our infirmities and carried our sorrows. You see, we can indeed address the Lord confidently in prayer because of He who experienced all sorts of infirmities for us and for our sake. As we read these verses, what we see here is really the suffering of the Savior, isn't it? We see the one who didn't really experience a fever. Actually, he experienced even worse than a fever. While the bones are consumed by burned by fire in this psalm, we know one whose flesh poured out blood, even in the garden. And because he experienced all these things for us, we can confidently address our great God, knowing that, crying out continually, he will respond to us in a timely manner. Oh, Christian, may this be our great lesson for this year, that in the midst of infirmities, and despite of the infirmities, we cry out continually to the Lord. But as we move on to the verses 6 and 7 gives us another situation. It's not only infirmity that has come before the psalmist. No, there is an additional factor. And in verses 6 and 7, we see that he is striving. He's really fighting against loneliness. And what is striking about verses 6 and 7 is that he uses these birds as metaphors. If you're reading from the New King James or the King James, you're probably reading there at least three different birds. The pelican, the owl, and the sparrow. In the ESV, in verse 6, the pelican is translated as an owl. So you have only an owl and a sparrow, while in the New King James you have a pelican, an owl, and a sparrow. And these are very difficult words to translate in the original Hebrew, but regardless of the bird, what really should matter to us is what the bird is experiencing. The first bird is the pelican. And you know where you'll find a pelican, right? Perhaps you boys and girls in this past homeschool year have learned that the pelicans are creatures of the sea. They live where there is water and fish. There is really bounty when we think about the pelican. There is life. But here is the psalmist describing himself as a pelican, but not in the sea. He's a pelican in the wilderness. Or perhaps an owl in the wilderness. Now, what's the problem with this picture? The problem is that there's no food in the wilderness. Regardless if it is indeed a pelican or if it is an owl, as you may be reading in the ESV, the fact is that this bird is where it should not be. These are birds that depend on other living beings to survive and to be alive. And therefore, that's how this man is feeling. He's feeling alone and completely given to a place of no resources. He is feeling abandoned, to starve to death. That is even reinforced when you look at verse 6 and 7. When he compares himself as a sparrow. And that's precisely the description, isn't it, that he gives? I am like a sparrow alone. Now again, if you know anything about a sparrow, you know that they are always in groups. It's beautiful, actually, sometimes to see sparrows flying together because they form all kinds of different shapes and patterns in the sky. But this sparrow is alone on the housetop. In a depressed state. Abandoned. And as we return to verse 6, again, that's precisely the description that he gives with the owl in the desert. He is in this state of loneliness, of abandonment. He is out of company. There is no one to keep company with him. And now he is awaiting. Like an owl who is, or which is awake, he is awaiting for the change of this specific situation. He is waiting deliverance. Loneliness. Have you felt this way this past year? Have you felt like you're all alone? Perhaps you went through to the doors of the church was packed, and you still feel all alone. Perhaps you had your house full of people back in Thanksgiving, back in this time of Christmas, and still your heart was consumed by loneliness. And the question tonight is, how are you responding to that loneliness? See, the psalmist reminds us tonight that despite of our loneliness, we need to cry out to the Lord, for He will answer in a timely manner. He will answer timely. Let us not despair. You see, loneliness, as we see here in verses 6 and 7, is a part of the Christian experience. It's part of the Christian walk. There is no a miracle, or there's no easy way out of loneliness, but there is a righteous and godly way to respond to loneliness. It's not with despair. And isn't that precisely the way in which we respond to loneliness? When we find ourselves alone, don't we frequently get afraid? We arrived tonight here at 6 o'clock, used to worship at 6:30. And it was no surprise that the church was all dark. And there was no one here, so I got inside with my family. And my kids desired to go into my office, to which I took them. I opened the door, I turned on the lights, and then I went back to the narthex, and I left them there alone. It didn't take long for me to hear the screams. Daddy, where are you? The building is dark. We are all alone. Isn't that exactly what we feel? Isn't that exactly how we respond to loneliness? We respond in fear and despair. Well, if that was the way in which you responded to loneliness this past year, the Lord reminds you tonight, respond with prayer. Respond with prayer. Regardless of your sickness and infirmity, respond crying out to the Lord. Regardless of the loneliness, respond with a prayer and crying out continually to the Lord. And again, you know, the reason as we read about this loneliness, it's just unavoidable for us to be taken all the way back to the cross and all the way back to our Savior, isn't it? Once again, in Isaiah 53, verse 3, we are reminded that our Lord experienced the worst loneliness of all. In verse 3 of Isaiah 53, he says, He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But it's beautiful, isn't it, to refresh our minds with how Christ reacted in the face of that abandonment. Abandoned by His own people, not acknowledged as the true Messiah. Abandoned by His own disciples and family in the moment of the crucifixion and imprisonment. Abandoned by everybody. The Lord Jesus remained faithful and crying out to His Father. Crying out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? But finally crying out, In Your hands, I give up my spirit. Christian, if you sit here tonight and indeed as you revisit this year, you understand that you did experience loneliness, do not give in to despair. Do not give in to fear, but cry out continually to the Lord, regardless of the hardships that passed through this year. Let us be reminded, let us be firm in this assurance that the godly response in this moment is to cry out continually to the Lord, confident in His timely response. But if infirmity was not enough, if loneliness were not enough, there is still a third situation in which the psalmist struggles. As we look at verses 8 and 9, we see that he is fighting against deep humiliation. Deep humiliation. In verse 8, he introduces the enemies who are taking advantage of the situation that he is experiencing now to use him as a sign of an accursed person. Verse 8 says, My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. And so here's the picture. These are those who are witnessing the sufferings, the sorrow, the hardships that the psalmist is experiencing, and they are delighting in it. They take pleasure in it. And actually, they are using the psalmist as an example of curse. I remember back in Brazil, that bad examples, negative examples, was frequently used by my mom to guide me to the right path. She used to say something like, well, you better really study hard or you're going to end up like your cousin so-and-so. It has nothing to do
He's wasting his life. You don't want to be like that. So that's exactly what these enemies are doing. But this is a godly man. This is a man who fears the Lord. This is a man who rejoices in the Lord. But he's in the midst of terrible pain, a terrible infirmity. He's in the midst of loneliness and feeling himself abandoned. And instead of coming alongside to help him out and to encourage him, they are deepening him through humiliation. This man became a symbol of defeat in the mouth of his enemies. And if that was not enough, look at verse 9. His humiliation is such that he's constantly in deep sadness. We read that he eats ashes like bread and he mingles drink with weeping. This is a man whose daily food is sadness, is sorrow. That which should be his daily nourishment, bread and a drink, is actually being a symbol of how depressed, oppressed and humiliated he is experiencing. He's spending day and night in suffering because of this humiliation coming from his enemies. Christian, did you experience that this past year? Did you experience, because of your faith and because of your Lord, humiliation and ridicule, perhaps through family members who are not in the Lord? Perhaps even in the midst of the church, with those who really didn't understand your suffering and couldn't really sympathize with the hardship that you were experiencing. Perhaps you sit here tonight and you are deeply hurted because of the humiliation you experienced through this year. And again, the question that comes to us from this text is, how are you responding to this? How are you responding to humiliation? Well, the psalmist teaches how to respond, don't he? He responds through crying out to the Lord. He responds by saying, "Hear my prayer, answer me speedily. Do not hide your face from me." He desires the ears of the Lord to be attentive to his plea. In the midst of the hardship, he is continually crying to the Lord, confident in his timely response. But sometimes that's not our response, is it? Sometimes when we face and experience humiliation, the way we respond is with retaliation, isn't it? When we feel that in some sort of way we're being attacked by enemies, we're being humiliated by those who should be supporting us, our immediate response is retaliation. It's to give back, it's to pay back with the same sort of coin. How did you respond to humiliation in this past year? The Lord reminds us that the proper response is through prayer. When people humiliate us, robbing us of our livelihood, robbing us from the liberty that we have of going to and fro, of opening up our businesses to do our jobs, to gather together in our homes, to have fellowship with our own family, when all sorts of humiliations come upon us, the response of the Christian is the response of the psalmist. We respond crying out continually to the Lord, confident in his timely response. Let us learn that once again, Christian. As we look back through this year, and as we look back at all the hardships that we have experienced, let us make sure that this is the kind of response that we are going to diligently offer to each one of these situations when they come to us in the future. In the face of infirmity, we respond with prayer. In the face of loneliness, we don't give in to despair. We respond with prayer. In the face of humiliation, we don't give in to retaliation. We respond crying out to the Lord in prayer. But lastly, as we consider verses 10 and 11, we notice that there is a fourth situation that is leading this man into this desperate plea before the Lord. And it is his own sin. His own sin. Verse 10, he says, "Because of your indignation and your wrath, you have lifted me up and cast me away. Now here, this expression, to lift me up and cast me away, is like when you're getting a vase. When you get some sort of very frail utensil or object, and you get it up, and then you just toss it away, breaking and shattering it completely. That's the imagery that the psalmist is using to describe how he feels, and the reason why he feels that he's experiencing this is because of his own sin. Again, in verse 10, he says, because of your indignation and your wrath. In other words, what is given this desperate desire to cry out to the Lord is not simply the externals. You see, infirmity is an external factor. Loneliness, an external factor. Humiliation is an external factor. But it's not only externals that leads the psalmist to this godly response. It's also the internal factor. We have no doubt to disagree with the psalmist's own impression. It seems that in some sort of way, he has indeed sinned against the Lord, and now he feels the indignation and the wrath of the Lord upon him. To the point that, looking at verse 11, he goes back to the theme of a life that is going away. He says, my days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. My life is just going by. Like sand, when you go to the lake and you pick it up and it just goes through your fingers. You can't hold them very long. It's just like the description that the psalmist is given. I am feeling like I am withering away because of my own sin. Christian, how are you responding to your own sin? How did you respond to your own sin through this year? For along with the certainty that as this year is going by, we are closer to the coming of the Lord, comes the certainty that all of us sitting here tonight through 2020 sinned against the Lord in many, many ways. Regardless of who you are, regardless of your activities and your age, you sit here tonight, you sinned against God. But the question is, how are we responding to that reality? The psalmist tonight reminds us that when we feel God's indignation towards us because of our sin, the proper response is to cry out to Him, is to plead with Him, is to be assured that the doors of heaven are wide open to receive sinners who repent because of He who opened those doors, because of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Isn't that exactly what He's taught us in Isaiah 53:10? In Isaiah 53:10, we have an even stronger assurance than this psalmist had, for we are promised and we know it has been accomplished, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When he will make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see, even in more assurance, even in more certainty than the psalmist, can we cling to the Lord in prayer in the face of our own sin because of He who died for the sins of sinners. The problem is that in the face of our sin, sometimes we don't respond crying out to the Lord, do we? In the face of our own sin, our first response sometimes is overlook. Overlook. We know we sinned. We sinned against our spouse. We sinned against our parents. We sinned against our neighbor. And our initial disposition is not to cry out to the Lord asking forgiveness, but it is to overlook. It is to sweep it under the rug. To pretend that nothing happened. Instead of opening our mouths and really crying out to the Lord, forgive me for this sin. Read me from this sin. Cleanse me through the blood of your Son, my Savior Jesus. Make me mortify this sin. We just sweep it under the rug. And we overlook it. We don't care about it. As we look back through this year, how did you respond to sin in your life? was this year, with all its hardships, a year to be remembered as a year of prayer, a year in which you found yourselves on your knees more than any other year that passed? That is precisely what this psalmist reminds us tonight. In the midst of infirmities, in the midst of loneliness, when facing humiliation, and even when we struggle with sin, we ought to cry out continually to the Lord without fear, without hindrances. We ought to flee to the throne of grace because of Him who was prophesied in Isaiah 53. Because He bore our griefs. Because He was the one who was despised and experienced loneliness than anyone else. Because He was the one who was afflicted and oppressed and experienced more humiliation than any human being that have ever lived and that He will ever exist. Because He was the one who shed His blood to give free access for sinners such as us. Let us therefore, with a firm desire, abandon despair, abandon fear, abandon all sense of indignation and retaliation. Let us abandon all indifference and overlook. And let us embrace prayer. Let us cry out. And as we see again through these hours, the year going away, going by, let us make sure that these very last hours of 2020 will be marked by a soul who addresses his Lord in prayer. A soul who delights and desires to be in the presence of his Savior, who clings to Him in times of infirmity, in times of loneliness, in times of humiliation, and even when sin finds place in our hearts. We cling and cry out continually to the Lord, confident in His timely response. For He has responded at the cross. That response no ears can erase. And our response now is a reflect of that which Christ conquered for us. Let us make sure that as we revisit this year, and as we see what the Lord has brought us through, that we find ourselves a people of prayer, a people who cry out continually to the Lord, confidently in His timely response, regardless of the hardships. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank You for Your word. And as You prepare us for this new year that is dawning, help us, O Lord, to look back and to see the many, many blessings that You have bestowed upon us. But help us as well, Lord, to look back and to see our failures, to repent from them, and in the power of Your Spirit to strive to live godly lives as a response of gratitude to Your marvelous grace towards us. Father, as we revisit this year, we come before You understanding that we didn't even pray enough, as much as we should have prayed. We come before You confessing that many times during our infirmities we gave unto despair, that many times in our loneliness we gave up into fear, that so many times when humiliated we gave into retaliation. And even when we saw our own sin eye to eye, we overlooked it. We pretended it was not there. And Father, we pray that You would forgive us for all these things. And we pray, Lord, that through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would make us a people of prayer, a people who bow their knees before Your face, seeking Your ear, desiring Your presence, seeking Your comforting and blessed face. Oh Lord, help us to spend these very last hours of 2020 cultivating this desire of prayer in our families, with our sons and daughters, with our spouses, with Your people, the church. And bless us, O Lord, as this new year dawns. Help us, O Lord, to pray even more and to find ourselves on our knees more and more because of our Savior Jesus. Because of what He experienced for us and of what He conquered for us. In His name, Lord, we pray. Amen.